Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I have a great show planned. I'll be talking with the editor of Work Camper News about how to find the ideal work camping job. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, and, of course, everything about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started, so for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Jody Anderson Duquette is the editor of Work Camper News and one of the owners of the business. She literally grew up in the work camping industry and has a lot of experience connecting people to short-term jobs. She has identified 12 steps to take to find the right job for you. It all starts with doing your homework to learn what type of jobs and employers are available. Contrary to popular belief, not all work camping jobs involve work at campgrounds and RV parks. By becoming aware of the different types of jobs available, people can narrow down their selections to specific industries, geographic areas, paid or volunteer positions, and other types of compensation. The next step involves prioritizing things you really need to have in a job. Jody is right in saying that each work camper situation is different based on their financial needs and physical capabilities. It's also important that couples be on the same page when it comes to finding work camping jobs. One of the best tools to use is the work camper website itself that allows people to narrow job opportunities by state and then use keywords to find specific jobs in that state. Work Camper News places symbols on each ad so people can quickly scan an opportunity and zero in on only those that are the closest match to their situation and desires. Once a work camper selects jobs of interest, then it's time to reach out to specific employers and, more importantly, to follow up with them. But to save everyone time, it's important to apply only for the jobs you feel would be a good fit, and Jody offers ideas on how to do that most effectively. People also have the option of casting a larger net by uploading their resumes to the work camper website. Some employers never advertise job openings. Rather, they search the database for people they think might be a good fit and then reach out to potential work campers themselves. Best of all, Work Camper News offers an outstanding resume building tool to help people create more effective resumes that ensures the right information can be found in the right places to help employers find workers. Jody offers ideas on key elements to include in your resume. She also talks about another tool available to work campers that allows them to submit their own situation wanted ads to let employers know they are available for certain types of work in specific areas. I've just touched on a quarter of the insider tips that Jody is going to provide, so without stealing more of her thunder, please welcome Jody Anderson Duquette, the editor of Work Camper News, to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Jody. I really appreciate taking the time to do this. We're going to talk about how to find a job as a work camper. I'm sure that's something everybody's interested in.
Absolutely. And we see the question asked all the time. Folks typically learn about work camping oftentimes just from somebody else. They've, you know, gone to a campground and interacted with a work camper there. And, you know, that work camper introduces them to the concept. And so they go, well, how do I figure out how to do this? And that's where Work Camper News comes into play. We are the one-stop shop for finding work camping opportunities and connecting with others in the lifestyle and learning all about how to do it, what to do, when to do it, and just giving you the confidence to do so. And so some information we have for free available at WorkCamper.com is 12 steps for finding a work camping job. So today I thought we could just kind of lightly go through some of those steps to help people who are new to this lifestyle better understand how to get started in it.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So what do people need to do first?
Absolutely. Yes. So first things first is doing your homework. And of course, WorkCamper.com is a great place to do that. We have multiple different membership levels available to give people just kind of a glimpse into things. So definitely getting started at WorkCamper.com, taking a look at our magazine, reviewing the job listings, the different articles, and listening to this podcast is another great avenue. So just exposing yourself to the different types of employers that are running ads out there and reading about different work camping experiences or listening to different work camping experiences that are out there, just to give you an idea of the possibilities and things that you may want to do in your future.
And it's important to do your homework because it'll help you narrow down the job selections, because there are thousands, literally thousands of work camping jobs available every year, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And while a lot of people like to put work camping in the box of work camping is just working at a campground, that's not exactly the case. While campgrounds and RV parks are probably the largest industry that recruits work campers, there really is a wide variety out there and a wide variety of compensation types, which is something we'll get to in one of the next steps as well.
So prioritizing your options, what can people do to prioritize the options? And what do you mean by that?
Sure thing. Yeah, and that's our second step. So just making a list of where you want to go, what you think you might want to do, the type of compensation that you're going to need. Not all work campers embark on the work camping lifestyle with, Social Security or pensions or savings, things like that. So different work campers have different financial needs. So you just need to make sure you understand your financial needs, what your physical capabilities are. And then in looking at the different job listings, you'll kind of get an idea of the different types of jobs that are out there. And so that will help you better understand, you know, what types of things you can do, what you'll want to do, what you won't want to do. Because there may be some jobs that you're not interested in doing. And that's totally fine. Just don't apply to those ones. Right. And also, especially knowing where you want to go first. And that can be the hardest part sometimes is deciding, you know, when I'm going to start and where do I want to go first when we do get started. So just understanding how you want to do this is kind of and if you're traveling with a spouse or family member, friend, whoever, you guys have to do that together to make sure that you're on the same page.
Now, can people do this from the WorkCamper website to indicate their options that they want so that they only see those type of jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, the job listings are mostly organized at this time by state. So for the most part, that's kind of the first step in narrowing down the job listings when you're looking at them is organizing by state. And then you can do some keyword searching to narrow down more specifically to certain compensation types or certain job types that you're interested in.
So if I wanted to look for a volunteer job in Washington, that would be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I needed a paid position in New England, I could do it that way as
well. Yeah, we're going to do some searches with our dollar sign symbols that we put at the end of our ad text.
Okay.
And employers can write whatever they want in their ads. And some employers are really great at writing ads, and some employers are not so great at providing a lot of information in their ads, no matter how much we try to help them. So we put dollar sign indicators at the ends of our ad text to help work campers more quickly discern if that opportunity will likely be right for them.
Mm-hmm. So. What do the dollar signs mean?
Sure. So like $1 sign means that a stipend is provided. $2 signs means that some hours or wages are paid. $2 signs and a question mark means that it's possible that some hours may be paid. There's also $3 signs, which means all hours worked are paid. Then there's $3 signs with a plus symbol, and that's an opportunity that provides more career-like compensation package. So maybe a salary, 401k, health insurance, like those kind of benefits. So there's a little bit of a variety, and we do have a glossary on our website, and there's the symbol key in each issue of the magazine and stuff. So if that all just sounded like a bunch of gibberish, it's there for you to find and decipher. Don't worry.
Okay. Once we've done our homework and we prioritized our options, then what do people need to do?
Absolutely. So when you are in that active step of I'm really doing this and looking for a job, you're going to start narrowing down those ad listings and making selections of the employers that you're going to talk to. So you're going to review the ads, and if it seems like a match, you'll begin communicating with them. And you may, you know, apply with multiple employers to start with, or just try communicating with one and see how that goes. Just kind of get out there and get your feet wet.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that just, and then focus on those jobs that you'd really like to have, right?
Exactly.
Go for those first. There's no advantage to applying for everything, right?
Right. Not really. And you know, this industry, just like a lot of others, it deals with people. And so sometimes people don't act how we would prefer them to act. So you may reach out to employer and not hear back from them. So it's important to follow up. If you do, send an email to them, especially email's not always reliable. Sometimes emails end up in spam folders or just gets missed or whatnot. So you always want to be sure you're following up, especially if it's an employer that you're really interested in. If the employer provides multiple points of contact information in their ad text, then utilize one of the other avenues. You know, if you do email first, then call next, or vice versa, something like that. If they don't include a phone number, I wouldn't necessarily call, as they may not want to receive calls. Sometimes, if they don't want to receive calls, oftentimes they'll say that in their ad text. So it might be okay to call. But yeah, definitely following up and communicating with the employers. If you do want to get your feet wet and maybe do multiple interviews just to try things out, you sure can, but don't waste your time and the employer's time. Only apply for opportunities that you feel really will be a match or you want to know more about.
I've talked to some people who have actually been approached by employers themselves,
mm-hmm.
based on what they put on their resumes. Can you talk about how people can like fine tune that option?
For sure. Absolutely. So that's step number four. So that's casting a larger net. And so we do have employers that run ads, and then, you know, the work campers then communicate with those employers based on that. But we also have employers who never run advertising. All they do is search our resume database or work wanted ads ran by work campers, which we call situations wanted ads. And so those employers just search through the database and look through the work wanted ads and start contacting work campers. So you want to be sure to, when you join workcamper.com, you want that diamond level membership. If you're brand new to work camping, the diamond level is where you want to start. The platinum level is for work campers who maybe have some work camping jobs already under their belt. So with that diamond level membership, you can access the resume builder tool. It will take you step by step through creating that work camper resume. So it becomes much easier, especially for those folks who haven't made a resume in quite some time. So get in there, get that resume created, and once you have it put together, it can be available to be found in the database by employers, or you can also email it to anyone you want to, physically print it out if maybe you're going to be meeting with an employer in person, or some employers still will accept mail, surprisingly. And you can also export it to a PDF version if you are doing an online application process that then requests an upload of your resume to it. So our resume tool is very robust and helps ensure that you are including the information that work camper employers are looking for. So be sure to get that completed as well.
I'll tell you, if I were an employer, that's where I would start. Mm-hmm. If I had a job, is I would go to that database and see, are there anybody looking for a job in my area that kind of like this? Mm-hmm. And then reach out to those people who've already expressed an interest before I open up the floodgates to everybody.
Sure.
So yeah, I would think having your resume finely tuned would be a very, very big plus for a work camper.
And that's a really good point, Greg, that finely tuned part. I know some work campers who are new want to jump in and just be like, I'm totally flexible and we'll do anything and we just want to get started. But do take this seriously, because again, we don't want to waste anybody's time. And so when you put your availability date in there and you're selecting the states that you'd be willing to work in or the types of businesses that you're wanting to work at, make that as focused as possible. You know, don't go in and select every state in there because you don't care where you are. And, you know, sometimes I see availability dates of, you know, maybe late October and they have a lot of northern states selected. And so I inquire with that work camper, do you really want to be in Alaska in October, November, December, or, you know, New England or Minnesota, et cetera. Right. And they're like, well, no, well, not really. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, take this resume seriously and fine tune it like mm-hmm. Greg suggested. So
very good.
Absolutely.
And then
researching
potential employers is the mm-hmm. next step. And what can people do to really dive into that type of research?
For sure. So something that all of us are used to doing now when going to a restaurant or buying a product, we want to look at reviews and see what other people thought. And this is just part of the due diligence. You know, when you read an ad from an employer or you're contacted by an employer, you want to investigate that operation and that experience a little bit to help you determine if it's going to be right for you or not. Because some opportunities are right for some, while they will not be right for others, just based on the different factors involved. So, you know, you can do things like going on Yelp or Google and reading customer reviews and things like that. But what we offer at Work Camper News is Work Camper reviews. And so we have two tools right now, actually kind of three that I'll throw in. And so when you have an employer that you're researching, you'll want to, and if they're advertising, the employer's advertising, oftentimes there are direct links to our tools right from the ad. But you can go to these tools anytime and look up any employer in there to see if there's anything. So the Praise Your Employer tool is an avenue where work campers can award a star award to an employer that they had a positive experience working with. When they're awarding that star, they have the option to say, show my email address or not. So you, as a researching work camper, can look up in there the employer, and if it's listed in there, click on the star awards and hopefully see the email address of the work camper who awarded the star. Then you can contact that work camper via email and say, hey, I see you worked for XYZ employer. What was it like? I have questions. Would you be willing to talk to me? Then we have the Work Camper Experiences tool, and that's been going since 2007. So this is a tool where people can write out written reviews about the experience they had with that employer. Lots of years of reviews in there. Of course, maybe the older reviews maybe not so valid anymore if management ownership has changed, etc. But that's another avenue for seeing what other work campers have thought about it. Mm-hmm. And then one other tool, we have our member map. And our member map, like we kind of started that before our village and Facebook was a big thing. So you can go in and put your pin on the map to say where you are, etc. But the point of me talking about this is, if you want to work for XYZ employer and they're located in, you know, Sioux City, South Dakota or whatnot, go to Sioux City, South Dakota on the member map, see if there are any work campers that have their pins in that location, and contact those work campers and say, hey, I see you're in Sioux City, South Dakota. Do you happen to be working for XYZ employer? And if they are, then there you go. Perhaps you've made a connection with a work camper who's working for that employer. So lots of avenues to connect you with information, because we are all about helping you make sure you find the right job for you, because we want you guys to have a positive experience. And so all of this stuff may be like, oh, this sounds like a lot of work. And it kind of is, but you want to have a good experience. And so you need to put in a little bit of effort in the front end to help ensure you're going to have a great time at your work camping job.
I just interviewed an employer a couple of weeks ago who had a great recommendation for taking an extra step to get a job that they really wanted to do. And mm-hmm. and she recommended going to travel websites, because they were a company that provided like tourist experiences for people. and reading those comments from people who had visited there to give the WorkCamper an idea of the type of experience that customers wanted to have and really appreciated. So they would know a little bit more about what would be expected of them as WorkCampers to provide that kind of experience. And then go through the employer's website as well and look for articles that might have been written about them, etc. Make notes and mention some specifics that you'd found in your research when doing your application or your cover letter, resume, whatever it might be.
Or the interview.
Right,
yeah.
In the interview, just to let people know that you have taken that extra step to be interested in that specific employer for that specific job.
Awesome. That's great. And it's true, I think, especially, you know, some WorkCampers who are just getting started, it's not this, even though a lot of the jobs exist in RV parks, campgrounds, etc., a lot of the duties may be the same. The environments, the clientele, the operations will really vary from park to park to park. So just because you've done office work at one place does not mean that's going to be the same at another place. So even if you've experienced a couple of these jobs before, you need to continue to ask all the questions and do that kind of research to ensure that operation is going to be a match to your personality, needs, and desires.
You need to cover all of your bases.
Yeah.
Which is the next step.
Absolutely.
So by covering your bases, you're talking about answering or asking all of the questions that you want to know about a particular job or an employer. Does WorkCamper provide kind of a guideline or a list of sample questions that people can ask or consider when researching?
Yeah, we have a couple articles in our article index about interviewing, and it's been covered in our magazine. We have an issue in there, at least one article in our magazine that's been covered before. And then also in the Dreamer's Journey online course that we have available right now, rvdreamersjourney.com, we spend at least an hour and a half talking about interviewing with an employer. So we definitely have some resources out there to help you prepare for that. And it is important. Employers oftentimes, it's going to vary. So some employers, it's you would be interviewing with the owner and they're wearing all the hats of the operation. So they may not have a lot of time, but you want to make sure that you are getting enough time from that employer to get the information that you need. So if you're communicating with an employer and you're just kind of getting short emails here and there, they're not willing to set up even a phone conversation with you, etc., I would be a little hesitant there and keep pushing to try and get, you know, a little further communication before moving forward on that one. You want to be sure you're getting your questions answered. And as a newbie, I know you're like, I don't even know what to ask. So we've got those resources out there to kind of help you feel more confident about that. But it's even just as simple as, will your RV fit on the RV site? And can you physically drive your RV to that location safely? You know, because some of these places may have a low bridge or too short of sites or something just as simple as that. But, you know, more importantly, it's just getting an understanding of the expectations, what the duties are going to be, what your compensation is going to be. How is that going to be provided to you? Are you going to be receiving a W-2 or a 1099 at the end of the year for tax purposes, and how that's all going to work out, if it's counted as income to you or not, if you're receiving an RV site as part of your compensation. So there's definitely some kind of fine-tuning, finite details that you want to have hashed out, just so there's no surprises, and so everybody is on the same page.
That's right, because when you go to an employer's physical location to do an interview for a job, you can pick up a lot of things just by walking in the building or, you know, through the grounds or whatever. And most of the WorkCamper interviews are done online or over the phone. So that's why questions are really important. Like you said, will my RV fit in this site?
Yeah.
You just can't make that assumption anymore, especially if you have a bigger rig.
Right. Absolutely. Super. Absolutely.
So once you've asked all these questions and you've got the answers,
down to the point that you feel comfortable, then what's the next step we need to take?
Yeah, so let's get things in writing. And most employers are willing to do this for you. It's often called a work agreement or a letter of understanding. And it's not a contract per se. It's not necessarily going to like hold up in court or whatnot, but it's just something written out because oftentimes, like you said, maybe we'll have done a phone conversation or something where things were talked about. So we need to get in writing what was decided, what the expectations are, hours, duties, start date, end date, those kinds of items. So the employer typically should be willing to write that out for you in an agreement, and then both parties should sign that work agreement. And then you have that if you do go to the position and maybe things aren't working out how you anticipated, you have that work agreement to then go to your employer and say, hey, just need to start a dialogue with you. You know, we anticipated this was going to happen based on what was written out here. This is now what is happening, which is different from what we thought. So how can we get back on the same page and get back to what we agreed to? So it's really just a communication tool.
And I think it's important, especially if work campers are interviewing with multiple employers within a short period of time, because they might just automatically assign somebody else's benefit to this job.
Sure.
And they never put it in writing.
Right.
So wait a minute. I thought you said we had free laundry facilities here, and there's no laundry facility at this facility, you know, this
yes.
place, because, you know, they just got confused or whatever the case might be. So when it's in writing, I think that just it clears up a lot of misconceptions and problems later.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. It's just tools of communication, because typically when problems arise, it was due to a breakdown in communication at some point.
Right.
Yep.
The next step is one that I think is very important that a lot of work campers overlook, and that is mm-hmm. doing the math, to look at the total value of the compensation that is there, because they look at sometimes the RV site. Mm-hmm. And they just say, well, it would only cost me $150 a week if I were to stay here. And here I'm working 30 hours a week to get this site. But there are other things to consider in there. So what are some of the things you need to do when considering the math or doing the math?
For sure. Yeah. And there's such a variety of compensation packages out there. Like you said, it's really not something you should assume. And when looking at non-monetary compensation that's provided. And sometimes the employers just aren't good at spelling it out. So when they're providing an RV site, that may include your electricity and water without paying extra for it. If it is a campground or RV park, there may be free propane or discounted propane, discounts in the store. Maybe there's Wi-Fi or cable or a telephone connection. Oftentimes if there is laundry facilities, maybe the work campers get to do laundry for free, or they're provided so many dollars a month for the laundry. There's just a lot of things like that that oftentimes are included. The employers may forget to mention it because they've just always offered it. It just is, and they don't think it's special anymore because it's just part of their everyday. So, and it can be hard to assign a value factor to some of those non-monetary things, but you just got to try your best in working it out. And so, you know, you take a look at the number of hours that the employer is requesting. If you can find out if the campground does have like a monthly or a seasonal rate, try to find out what that is. Determine the value of everything that you're being provided, and you know, divide that by the number of hours you're going to work for the month, and then that will give you what your quote hourly wage would work out to.
A number of employers have been offering VIP cards, which mm-hmm. is provided by the local tourism bureaus, and that gives the work campers free or discounted admissions to various attractions, discounts on restaurant meals, et cetera, and there's value in that mm-hmm. people don't really consider how much money they are saving by being able to take this zipline tour for free kind of thing, if that's what they wanted to do.
Certainly. And most work campers go about selecting a work camping position. First, they pick the location because it's somewhere they wanted to visit or be. So you're going to that location because you want to enjoy those things that are in the area. So if your employer is offering you a discounted rate to do a lot of that stuff, that's, you know, money left in your pocket.
So, right. Yeah. The location, 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 location. Yeah. If you've always wanted to work or live on the coast of California and there's a work camping opportunity there, that is worth much more money than many times the compensation being provided.
Absolutely. And that's definitely something to keep in mind. And what a lot of work campers always mention, you know, it's what is the value of being in that location for the period of time that you're going to be there? And, you know, we recently did some jobinars with the Yellowstone General Stores team because they're looking for folks for their operations inside of Yellowstone National Park. And this employer, specifically Delaware North, they pay their work campers for every hour worked, and then they deduct a fee weekly for the work camper's RV site. And it's a whopping $35 to $70, depending upon where you're at in the park. Mm-hmm. So some work campers get a little fussy and say, that's a raw deal. You shouldn't have to pay for your RV site. But in my opinion, if that's where you are, that's fine.
Great.
That's not the right opportunity for you, and you can keep perusing. But if you just go to Yellowstone and want to stay in the national park, the campgrounds within the national park range between $30 to $50 a night with limited hookups, not likely full hookups, while the work campers will have full hookups. So $30 to $50 per night to just stay in the park for potentially no full hookups. If you want to go to one of the boundary towns, you're looking at maybe $70 to $100 a night for a full hookup site. Or you can spend the entire summer there and pay a measly $35 a week for your RV site within the national park, and you get to meet all these wonderful people and spend the whole summer there. So again, it's a matter of perspective.
Right.
And luckily, there's all kinds of opportunities and compensation out there to meet the different desires of the work campers.
I'd agree with that. One thing that work campers need to remember, though, is that they are here and they're traveling in this lifestyle to have fun, right?
Yeah.
So they have to take that into consideration, and that's the next step, is to enjoy yourself and to ask yourself these questions before you sign on the contract or the agreement. And then what are some of those?
Sure thing. So just making sure you like the location. Typically, you're likely done some research of, you know, things that are in the area, or it's a place you've always wanted to be. So that may be the easiest one to answer. But when thinking about the job itself, you know, are you okay with the duties that you're going to be performing? Are you physically capable of doing it? And are you okay with doing it over and over again for the period of time that the employer would like you to be there? And then being satisfied with the compensation that's being offered. Is that going to work for you financially? And then, do you like the employer? Are you getting a good vibe from it? Do you think you're going to be a match for them in the operation? And one thing to think about, too, when you're interviewing, if you're interviewing with someone who's not going to be maybe your supervisor or direct manager, it's okay to ask then, could I have a quick phone call with whoever my manager or supervisor is going to be, just to kind of communicate with them and see if we're going to be a match personality-wise? Like, that's totally okay to do. You know, you guys are often traveling hundreds, if not 1,000 or more miles to go to these work camping opportunities. So take the time to thoroughly research it. And if it's, you know, doing some extra phone calls or things like that, hopefully the employer is also willing to take that extra time and do that for you as well.
If there's any red flags that you uncovered in your research or during your interview process, et cetera, it's really important to take time to consider that and determine if this is a deal breaker for you, because the problems will be magnified once you're on location. It generally isn't going to get better. It's not going to go away if you're saying, well, this has me concerned over here. It's still going to be a concern once you arrive on site and start the job. And now you're in that position for 3-6 months.
Yeah.
Right. And so it will not be better. So you have to figure that out beforehand.
Yeah, I totally agree. And not all job is going to be right for every work camper. And, you know, there are, like, again, like we talked about, this industry deals with people, and there's going to be stinkers out there. There's stinker work campers and there's stinker employers. So the more you guys can do your due diligence ahead of time, hopefully you can rule out if you believe that situation is going to be a stinker or not.
Right. And then the other thing to keep in mind, and a lot of our viewers have told me this in the podcast interviews, is that it's only for a season. Mm-hmm. And then I move on. Mm-hmm. I'm not making a career choice here. Right. I'm not buying a house in the area, etc. I can do whatever they need me to do for 3 months and
for
then
sure.
move on, right?
Yes.
And just chalk it up for experience and get on. But many times it's just a great experience. More often than not, it's just a wonderful experience. But they do.
Yes.
It is wonderful because people have put the research in up front.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So once they accept a job, mm-hmm. the number one thing to consider is keep your word.
Yeah. Please try to do that if you can. It's and right now we're recording this episode in April, and it's about the start of the summer season, and so we're starting to hear from employers about, you know, their work campers not showing up, and that's the toughest part. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard, and it's just people. But if you commit to an opportunity, do the best that you can to fulfill that expectation and that commitment. You know, things are going to come up. If something happens health-wise or family-wise, you know, if something has come up and you can't fulfill your commitment, please communicate with that employer as soon as possible and see if maybe a start date could be revised or something like that. You know, employers can sometimes be flexible and things like that. So just communicating that to the employer will go a long way. But do the best you can to keep that commitment. And once you commit to an employer, I'm going to come work for you this period of time, you stop looking for other jobs for that same period of time. Mm-hmm. Something may come up on the hotline or in the magazine that you think is super awesome and special for that same time period, but you've already made a commitment, so you just save that ad for a future year.
Right.
You don't keep looking. You revise your resume to start looking for the next season. And if you've committed to an employer, please just commit to that one employer and follow through as best you can.
I don't think people often understand just how tight-knit the outdoor hospitality industry is, and that campground owners know campground owners, and if somebody screws them up for a season, that name can be shared internally with all the other campground owners, et cetera. As this person committed to be here on April 15th, and they didn't show up, and when we finally got a hold of them on May 1st, they said they found another job. Well, this person, this campground is going to be talking to their friends in that state for sure.
Sure.
And it will be likely that the work camper will not be able to get another job.
That's possible.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're not aware, you know, just to be clear, like Work Camper News doesn't have a system
right.
for that. There's not a way for employers to rate or leave reviews on work campers. But surely, owners talk to other owners and things like that. But it's just tough. And I know... You know, we say work camping is fun and, you know, this is supposed to be a great time, but it is still something to be taken seriously because the employers, and especially now with the surge in attention and business levels with, you know, local tourism, RV parks, camping, et cetera, just because of the way, you know, our world is today, these employers are reliant on people, on their work campers more than ever, and they need you in their operation to take care of the guests, to take care of the customers, to take care of the business that needs to be done. So
that's right.
We want you to have fun, but you do need to understand this is a commitment and to stand by your word.
Some of the employees that I've interviewed have explained to me that they are in locations that is distant for people to travel. They are not next to a big city where there is a large labor pool. And that's why they like work camping, is because work campers come to them and they bring their own house.
Yeah.
And so it's a win-win for everybody. But when a work camper commits to accepting a job and the employer stops looking for other people, and then when they don't show up, they could be way behind the eight ball in getting that position filled because there won't be a local labor pool to draw from.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. It's a fine balance.
It is.
It's a fine balance. Yep.
So the final step to getting this job is to
do your best.
Do your best. That's right.
Just as we all want to do. And we all know, you know, when we when we do things right and we fulfill goals and duties and things like that, it makes us feel good. And if you're fulfilling, you know, your expectations for the employer, then the operation's hopefully running smoothly and things are going like gangbusters. And so everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. And getting along with each other is so very important.
Yeah.
And it's just a short-term position. And like we've said already, you know, just suck it up and get it done. If there's a challenging other work camper there or a personality conflict or whatever, just do your best and the jobs that you're doing, go out and have fun on your dime off and then move on.
Right? Exactly.
Super.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jody. I really appreciate the time. This is great information. I hope it helps a lot of work campers find their ideal jobs.
Me too.
I'd like to thank Jody Anderson-Duquette for taking the time to come on the show again, this time to offer advice to work campers about landing their ideal jobs. There are several ways work campers can find jobs, and they all work well. It just depends on your personal preferences. Some people identify places they would like to visit first, and then start looking for jobs in those areas. For them, they are sure to finding work in an area they've always dreamed of visiting. Finding a job this way ensures that work campers can fully immerse themselves into new cultures, new climates, historical areas, or states they've often wondered what it'd be like to live there. For them, location is the key factor for looking for a job. However, other people like working at specific jobs and will travel wherever they can get one of those jobs. For example, you won't find any lighthouses in Arizona, but people who really want to work at one will be willing to travel to one of the coasts for the right opportunity. Or people who are really skilled at planning events and are open to traveling anywhere so they can find an opportunity to work as an activities director, they can find those type of jobs too on the Work Camper website. For them, the type of work is of paramount consideration. There are still others who want to work specific jobs in new areas. Fortunately, Work Camper News can help them too by allowing them to search a vast database of employers hiring for specific jobs. It may take a little bit more advanced planning to land the ideal job, but at least Work Camper News can help open doors and connect people to those jobs. Some people finish one job and then start looking for another. Other people like the certainty of having a steady stream of work. Whatever their preference, one thing is for certain. People are better off finding jobs as members of Work Camper News. Work Camper News has a variety of tools to help you make the most of every opportunity. That includes job listings, more than anybody else, employer reviews, an outstanding resume builder, a daily jobs hotline, and an archive of magazines spanning decades, with each issue full of interesting stories and tips to help make the RV and work camping lifestyle more enjoyable. If you're not already a Diamond or Platinum member, you can get started today with a free trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. That's all I have for this week's show. Next week, I have several good options available, and I'm not yet sure which one we're going to do. But I encourage you to come back for the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.